Chapter 25, the three modes of nature and beyond. Today, so there's a bit of reading to do. So I will read the introduction, and I think the first five verses. The three modes of nature and beyond. To establish the transcendental nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this chapter describes the various functional manifestations of the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, which arise in the mind. Control of the mind, control of the senses, tolerance, and so forth, are manifestations of an unmixed mode of goodness. Desire, endeavor, false pride, and so on, are manifestations of the unmixed mode of passion. And anger, greed, and bewilderment are among the functions of the unmixed mode of ignorance. In the admixture of the three modes, we find the concept of I and mine, behavior in accordance with this mentality by body, mind, and words, adherence to the principles of religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification, and the fixed pursuit of one's occupational duty for material interests. A person whose character is in the mode of goodness worships Lord Hari in a spirit of devotion without regard to profit. On the other hand, one who hankers after the fruits of his worship of the Lord is passionate by nature. And one who desires violence is in the mode of ignorance. These modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance are present in the infinitesimal living entity, whereas the Supreme Personality of Godhead is transcendental to the three modes of material nature. The substance of place, the result of activity, along with the time, the knowledge underlying action, the activity itself, the performer, his faith, his level of awareness, his spiritual progress, and his destination after death, all partake of the three modes and manifest variously in terms of distinctions and hierarchy. But objects related to the Supreme Personality, places connected with him, happiness based on him, the time occupied in his worship, knowledge related to him, work offered to him, the performer of work who acts under his shelter, faith in his devotional service, progress towards the spiritual realm, and the destination of the Supreme Lord's personal abode all transcend the material modes. There are many different destinations and conditions of life for the spirit soul within the cycle of material existence. These are all based on the modes of nature and on fruit of activities, which are governed by the modes. It is only by practicing the yoga of pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord that one can conquer the three modes, which arise originally from the mind. After obtaining a human body, which has the potential for developing knowledge and realization, a person who is intelligent should renounce association with the three modes of material, modes of nature, and then worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. First, by increasing the mode of goodness, one can defeat passion and ignorance. Then one can conquer material goodness by evolving his consciousness to the platform of transcendence. At that time, he becomes entirely liberated from material modes, gives up his subtle body, material mind, intelligence, and false ego, and attains the association of the Personality of Godhead. By the shattering of this subtle covering, the living entity is able to come face to face with the Supreme Lord and thus achieve absolute fulfillment by His grace. Text 1. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Gunanam Asamishranam Humanena Yatha Bhavet Tane Purushavarhedam Upadharaya Samsatah.
Translation.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O best among men, please listen as I describe to you how the living entity attains a particular nature by association with individual material modes.
Report.
The word asamrishya indicates that which is not mixed with anything else. Lord Krishna now explains how each of the three material modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, acting separately, causes a conditioned soul to manifest a particular type of existence. The living entity is ultimately transcendental to the modes of nature, being part and parcel of the Lord, Krishna. But in conditioned life, he manifests material qualities. This is described in the following verses. You can just read these together.
Shamo dhamma-sitik-shekha tapak-satyam-daya-smiti tushti-shyago-sprihashadha bhir-daya-de-swa-nirvati kama-iha-madas-krishna skamba-ashri-vidasutam madho-sahava-nashat-pritir-hashyam-viryam-malo-dhavya kodalo-bhavitam-hi Ahimsa, Rakshatma, Kali, Shoktamaha, Vishadhati, Nidrashadhi, Anujamaha, Satasya, Rajasas, Kaisa, Tamashtam, Vurvashaha, Vitaya, Varma, Kaya, Sankhaka, Kosu.
Translation. Mind and sense control, tolerance, discrimination, sticking to one's prescribed duty, truthfulness, mercy, careful study of the past and future, satisfaction in any condition, generosity, renunciation of sense gratification, faith in the spiritual master, being embarrassed at improper action, charity, simplicity, humbleness, and satisfaction within oneself are qualities of the mode of goodness. Material desire, great endeavor, audacity, dissatisfaction even in gain, false pride, praying for material advancement, considering oneself different and better than others, sense gratification, rash eagerness to spite, a fondness for hearing oneself praised, and tendency to ridicule others, advertising one's own prowess, and justifying one's actions by one's strength and qualities of mortal passion. Intolerant anger, stinginess, speaking without spiritual authority, violent hatred, living as a parasite,
living as a parasite, hypocrisy, chronic apathy, quarrel, lamentation, illusion, unhappiness, depression, sleeping too much, false expectations, fear and laziness constitutes the major quality of the mode of ignorance. Now please hear about the combination of these three modes.
So, we're in. Now we're in the three modes chapter, which is parallels chapter 14 in Bhagavad Gita. Last week we had reports on a tsunami in Indonesia, and it was described how it completely forced people away from their families, forced them away from their homes, forced people out of their bodies, and killed so many people. So these three modes are like a tsunami. They actually force us to do things we don't want to do. We know we shouldn't do it, but we're forced to do it. I remember as a teenager, I heard, don't do this. I knew my parents would be upset if I did it. But I did it anyway. Even though I didn't want to do it, and then we are forced to think things that we don't want to think. How many times in shopping are you thinking really embarrassing things, right? You're hoping Krishna skip that somehow. And then there's other things that you're forced to feel that you don't want to feel. And what less what we say? We say things that we really don't want to say sometimes. And we lament because of that. So this is like a tsunami dealing with this, or a hurricane, dealing with being forced by these three modes of material nature. So how do we ride this big wave? It's not very easy. In Satya Yuga, they had just little ripples. We hear of sages. They would be sitting there in meditation, and some little agitation, and that's all they had to deal with. But here, we have our eyes open. We're surrounded by so many illicit activities, so many distractions, and we're being bounced around horribly by these modes. But we're still thinking that, even though these are maha modes, I can go out there in my little rowboat and paddle out there and I can deal with it. But we get swamped, and we get hit by waves. Recently, I got hit by a wave, and I was really bad at pieces by it. So what less is tsunami? So what are these modes? Modes actually are also described as a spell. And so therefore, becoming very close to Halloween, you can see that Maya actually declared as a witch, right? And she puts this spell on us. We don't know what it is, but the three modes are, we can't touch them or anything. But they enter your mind like a spell, and they completely overtake us from lifetime to lifetime. They're very, very, very powerful. And these are all designed by Krishna. They're divine by Krishna, and Maya takes hold of them, and she goes wild with them. She spells us into thinking that I am mine. This is myself, and that I'm so affected by them, and we identify this way. So it's very difficult to deal with. And here in the airport, and also in the 10th verse of the 14th chapter, it's describing how that these modes are in competition with each other. They never let us go. But then they have fun and they compete. Let's be the mode of ignorance today. Let's be the mode of goodness, passion, right? And they see who can be the strongest. And it's a real thing. It really is going on with us daily, minute by minute. Even we're actually being attacked. So she's very, very powerful. And it's not like you're going to be a goody-goody all the time, right? Some days you're just going to slump down into that mode of ignorance. You're going to be angry for some reason. Or you're going to be just moded out and just want to sleep all day or something. So this is a mixture. We have tons of mixtures. I guess in the next few chapters it'll describe all the different different ways that they can mix together and affect us. So this is going on. Like I say, even within 24 hours, we find ourselves being attacked. Just like when a normal person gets up, if they get up, they are in. You know, ignorant because they just got out of sleep. And for many hours, you can still be in ignorance. You're not even fit for human association. No one wants to get near you because you're so loaded out. So this can go quite a ways into the day. And then we start pushing on the passion pedal, right? We get going out there, and we're out there ready to get those fruits from our activities. And this pushes us. It makes the world go round. The lust makes the world go round. So this is a real thing. We're all driven by it. Go out in the traffic early in the morning. I never have to, but one time I had to go somewhere at 8 o'clock in the morning. Whoa, it was horrible. Much rather be in here, that's for sure. But they're out there. They're having to deal with that. And then, of course, the passion also is usually over-endeavor. You're trying to get more. You work way more than you really need to work. And this is not healthy. It's not healthy for the spirit soul. And then, of course, there's ignorance. Sleeping, become again in the Halloween spirit of a zombie. You just want to sleep all day. Maybe get up for a few hours and eat, and then go back to sleep. So this is the different modes that happen during the day. But the devotee knows how to sprinkle and inject Krishna consciousness into the day, and it becomes a whole transcendental experience. When the alarm goes off, you're thinking, today I'm dressing as deities. Oh, I'm doing this. Oh, I've got my rounds of chant. Oh, this engagement, that. So you're inspired to get up. And you're anxious to get out there and do your service to Krishna, and then, of course, we enrich our knowledge and our intelligence with so much transcendental knowledge, which gives us power during the day. When the modes attack, we can shoo them away. And remain very strong in our faith and not be swept away by these waves. And we can live a balanced life. Well, we have our material and spiritual influences in our daily life, but because we're devoted, we're devoted to following instructions of the spiritual master, the strength is there, and we stay on the railroad track back to Krishna, those two lines of material and spiritual. And of course, chanting our japa in the morning and getting a nice morning program under our belts, we stay connected throughout the day. We've made that link, and it's so easy to get back to it. We chant the holy name, and we're again connected to Krishna. We again transcend these material modes. But it's not on our own strength. We're thinking, I'm a good devotee. I get up in the morning. No, it's by actually the mercy of the spiritual master and of Krishna that really makes the smooth sailing. Back to Krishna. I don't know, I was a real boating fan when I was a kid. We would hook something to the back of the boat. And even though it was rough outside, if you get in these like little tubes and things like that, there's a wake. And if you stay in that wake, it's really smooth. It's really, really smooth. But you, of course, we're anxious. We don't always want smooth. We have to have some fun. We have to, you know, get beat up. So we go over that wake, and then, you know, they take on a spin. You go around the circle to fly off. You beat yourself to pieces. You know, you practically drown for your, you know, your great fun on boating. We've been there and done that. But we're still doing it. We're thinking, Prabhupada's given us nice instructions and we have such a nice spiritual life. But no, we have to go over the wake. We have to go try something else and get beat up and almost drown. Almost get swept away again. If we really want a safe journey and get away from these tsunamis, we have to call out to the spiritual master and call out, of course, to the holy name, which the spiritual master initiates us into. Because that will give us the strength and give us the mercy of the Lord that we really need beyond our own strength to overcome these three modes of material nature. So we have to learn that art of calling out. I was on a ladder at my house the other day, and I just recently lost my nearest neighbor back to Godhead, so I was on top of the roof cleaning and doing all kinds of things. I'm really long extension ladder up there, and I was thinking, boy, if a wind comes, that ladder could fall over, and I'd be stuck on that roof. You know? And I thought, I should have brought some rope or something to tie it on. And it did happen to me one time. The ladder fell off, and I had to wait about a half hour for someone to come by. They thought it was funny. They thought it would last. But anyway, I was thinking the only way when I was up there, the only way I'm going to ever get someone to save me is if I really yell and scream so the Nanda or somebody out there would ever hear me. So this, we have to learn this art of screaming very loudly for the Lord to come and help us, because we are helpless. Maya is very strong. Unless we have that help, it's going to be some rough sailing. So we have to learn that art. And we also have to learn the art of service, of engaging in Krishna's service 24 hours a day. But we find, after reading this verse and the next few verses, that we mix our service with the modes. Here is describing that sattva, that real pseudo-sattva activity of devotional service. But we have to admit that we've been under the spell of Maya for quite a while, and those influences are still there. So we have a tendency to mix our devotional service with our passionate or our ignorant natures that come and go. It's not as pure as we would like. Srila Prabhupada always encouraged us, he pushed us forward to the mode of goodness. He encouraged us to try to speak to people in the mode of goodness, to encourage them to remain in the mode of goodness, because then it's a stepping stone, and it helps get to that real pure stage. So Prabhupada introduced a wonderful program of prasadam. Put people in that mode of goodness, and book distribution to give them that knowledge to saturate their intelligence. And then also the chanting, the kirtan, the bhajan, the sankirtan. that will bring them more to the mode of goodness. And we see that happen. Some people that were in a different mode completely changed. I think Vishuddha Maharaj even broke up a Ganga when he first saw the devotees. He was so passionate. But it changed. So there is hope. And we see that it does happen. And Krishna, of course, is happier to receive that real pure devotion. But he's also happy in our attempt. But you can see that example of when Krishna came to visit the Pandavas, and he was in Dhritarashtra's palaces and everything. And Duryodhana saw Krishna and said, "Oh, I would like you to come to lunch." And he says he was trying to impress Krishna. He says, "Oh yeah, we will have some of my cooks who can make so many wonderful things, and we have such elaborate arrangements for you, Krishna. Please, you know, you must come. You must come." You know. And it was all about Duryodhana himself to brag. But and then he ran into Vidura, and Vidura said, "Oh, my dear Lord, please, I can only prepare maybe some simple spinach or something, but please come to my house for lunch." And of course, Krishna was very obliged to come to Vidura's house and accept that simple prasadam, because it was offered with pure love, not mixed with any other element. Of course, Duryodhana was famous for big, huge ego. So, we should strive to try to work and not have the modes in there, but we do at times. But it can get us in trouble. I know myself, a very passionate nature, that you know, you get in that over endeavor mood, and you can burn yourself out. Right? You get so many services, you take on too much, and that can put you back sometimes. And then also sometimes you're so passionate, you get your pride is there, and someone might not like what you're doing, and then you immediately get angry. And that can hurt your devotional service for some time, because then you might even become offensive, which will really detour your advancement. And then sometimes even goodness can be mixed with your devotional service, can be detrimental. You might think that I'm just too good of a devotee. I'm just really a good devotee. I have so much knowledge. I have shastric verses coming out of my ears and my mouth, and I have so many years behind me of devotional service. I have so much service, and I'm doing so much more than anybody else. And because I'm so good. I'm too good, right? And what happens is that I'm even better than my spiritual master, and that has happened, right? And I don't actually need those instructions. I can omit some of those instructions. And then I can speculate, and then I'm gone. I'm out of devotional service in no time. So, and of course, ignorance can also be there in your devotional service. And you're thinking that, I don't really have to be so clean. I don't have to take a shower. I can eat with my apron on and do all of that. Or I don't have to be so pure to go on the altar. I don't have to do this. And lazy. And this can destroy our service attitude, and it can minimize the instructions of the spiritual master, and also make you go away for a short time or a very long time. So best we try to clean up our modes. And hearing these modes, just like this long list, we can see what we might have to clear up amongst ourselves. I know that when it got past I skipped over the mode of goodness. I'm nowhere near there. But I started to identify when I got compassion. I've got that quality. I should do something about it. I should get rid of it, right? I don't have to be violent. I don't have to have audacity. So many violent hatred, hypocrisy, all these things that we have gathered through many, many lifetimes. So it's good to hear these lists, also in the 14th chapter, so many lists. This way we can get an edge on the material modes. We can immediately identify, oh my gosh, it's creeping in on me. I've got to do something to counteract it. And this helps us. And we also have help also by Srila Prabhupada's organization of his ISKCON movement. We have the different ashrams. They're there for protection. We have Brahminical and Brahmachari type ashrams where there's support. If you actually are truly in a Brahmachari ashram or Brahminical status of life, you take support from your God brothers and God sisters, and you help each other remain very sattvic, very clean, and devoted to studying scriptures, and regulated in all your activities. And this will help us to remain, elevate ourselves to that transcendental mode. And even there's protection in the Grihastha ashram. All that purification comes by providing things for other ashrams. That's their duty. They work very hard, they get money, and they invite people to come different ashrams to eat, to take prasadam, to hear from them. You help support the temples, you help support the brahmacharis, so many projects. And this is purification. This is your protection within that ashram. And in the renounced order of life, you're back to the mode of goodness. You help each other remain very... very much engaged in spiritual activities, giving up all the unnecessary material activities that you really don't need to do. So different than the so-called old age in the material world. They're so absorbed in the material body. Whereas in a renounced order in the later years, we try to completely override that and be on a totally the higher spiritual platform by always thinking of Krishna in different ways. So the Vedic culture, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, is being implemented in our ISKCON society. So we should take advantage of that. And gradually we'll become more and more attached to Krishna. Automatically, we will become very attracted to that, the transcendental mode of pure devotional service. Because we can... Can detach ourselves from Maya. It's no longer very tasteful. Of course, with the spiritual master's grace. Srila Prabhupada did try to organize this to have a revolutionary change in consciousness. He had to deal with a lot of lower-moded-out people when he first came to America. But he was able to do it. He was able to push them up very quickly and take to part in the mode of goodness, giving out prasadam and engaging people in chanting Hare Krishna. It was difficult. He actually was kind of tested when he brought the first devotees to India. And he was very, very cautious when he would take them to people's homes because being in the mode of ignorance and passion for so long, the habits were still there. He was very afraid that we would not be very clean and not say the right things, not do the right things. But he was very patient and very tolerant. So in our progress of trying to transcend these modes, we have to also be patient with ourselves. It's not that overnight we're going to become in the mode of goodness. We have to keep working at it. And we will see ourselves begin to gradually become out of the modes of material nature. But we should still be very intent, like it says in that 10th chapter, that we have to be intent on being in Krishna consciousness. We have to be careful not to become slack in our devotional service. And if we see ourselves setting the alarm clock a little later every week or two or every year, that's not a good sign. Or if we see that we have a tendency to eat more outside food or to hear more outside karmic music or change the computer to go on to those crazy things that are attracting you to waste your time, games and things like that. Or we have to be careful because Maya is very gross, but she's also very subtle. And we can be hit with a wave at any time, and it can carry us back. And that doesn't mean that, you know, the leaders in the society are exempt either. I just heard of an unfortunate situation of a very spiritually advanced person who got swept away, even in their old age. So we're not off of Maya's hit list by any means. We're still there. And the older Prabhupada disciples and the leaders of the movement, they're right there up on top of that hit list. So Maya's still out to get us. So we have to be very intent on keeping engaged in transcendental activities. It's so easy to not distinguish carefully what is going to be healthy and what is not going to be healthy for my spiritual life. Therefore, if we keep in the association of like-minded persons, those who are endeavoring to transcend, then they can help us and they can warn us when we're getting off track. And we can be thankful that we have this society to take shelter in all the time. And so this last chapter was very intense. I'm glad I didn't have to lecture on it because I would have really been lost. I'm a little more knowledge of the three modes of material nature, having been in it for so long. But it'll be anxious to see how we can at least stay in the mode of goodness and or use our other modes to serve Krishna. In some ways. So maybe some people have some experiences that they can share with us on how the effects of the most material nature and our endeavor to transcend them by doing devotional service. Do the young people here, do they ever feel like the modes of nature are out to get you? Huh? Or is it just us old guys? I don't know. The new batch coming out. I mean, we have it in our bones. We're very familiar with the modes of nature. We've been in and out of all of them. But I mean, y'all were raised in the mode of goodness. But Kamala, you still you get attacked by modes? Yeah. So they even affect the people that are brought into a nice clean atmosphere. So maybe you can give an example of how you can stay out of them. Of course, kirtan. Prayer, a lot of prayer works. Okay, here's some answers here.
I've noticed in my own life that japa is like a crucial thing. Like if I allow myself to be inattentive during japa, then the battle is lost. I mean, that's really like they say, I think the Shrapakai, I don't know who said it, that the inattention is the seed for all the other offenses. And if we are attentive, like we are actually making statement at that time, Krishna, you know, I really want to surrender to you. And then he helps us with everything else. But if we allow ourselves to be inattentive during that time, even if we are, you know, wanting to read the Shastras, you know, discuss the philosophy, whatever it is, you know, we are being offensive to the holy name, then it seems like there's very little chance.
So it's kind of a little bit of a battleground at times. But if you really are attentive, then it can be very peaceful and nice. But it is a time to really show our expression of endeavor and intent on becoming Krishna's dear servant again. And yeah, I find also it's a very crucial time of the day to be the most attentive and to really pour out our heart into calling out to Krishna. Makes a big difference on the rest of the day. Yes, over here.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for this wonderful class. I just want to share something. Not quite, but it's the mode. As you all came here, this is Dhanasana, and Krishna seems to make arrangements for me today. I was living in this cabin in Rari, Devaka. Last winter, I was having a really rough time with the cold. Actually, I refused to come out of the cabin, but I have a radio there, so I can listen to the vocals, see the devotees, see the cows, and see all the activity. And Krishna is so merciful to me that I would have dreams of you and Krishna creeping going on. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
For me, I was thinking that association of good devotees who are very serious, that really helps me to keep myself out of the boat or whatever. But yeah, having good association.
Yeah, the more satsangas we have, the better it is. We have nice congregational association.
I have a question for you. Thank you for your class. My question is how is the super soul involved in our being the super soul of mind or something like that? How is it involved in us being controlled by the Lord of material nature, or are we controlled by the Lord?
The Lord is not controlled, that's for sure. The modes of nature is described in here is actually enters your mind. So you have to deal with the mind. You can pray to the super soul to give you strength of the mind and intelligence to overcome them. But he's not affected. Unfortunately, we are. We're so affected that I remember I used to live in the Miami hotel, and outside my window I could see the hotel next to us, and all the people from up north, all the old people from up north would come down, and they would stay in that hotel, and I mean these were like old people, you know, and for their, but they were still in such modes of ignorance and passion that they would dress up like young people, and they would dance all outside, and they would put big red lipsticks on, and put little bathing suits on, and everything. They were so covered over. I mean, it just looking down, it was just like ridiculous. You know, these people are so covered over. So we have to be careful that Krishna isn't laughing at us that we do crazy things, especially in our old age, that like ride the waves like that. But to actually become very intent on fighting Maya in this lifetime so we can get out of here, it would be really unfortunate, really ridiculous if we have to come back here again and have to go through this again. So we have to put up a nice fight this lifetime. And Madame Mohan will conclude.
As one becomes a devotee, you recognize the modes, as you're pointing out. So for me, sometimes Maya says, don't worry about it, I got you covered. That's a joke because she has a throne and a cover of potency. And then as a little bit more, you start to notice that she's assisting Krishna. You know, she's not a competitor, she assists. So for a devotee, as opposed to like in a boxing match and you have somebody that's trying to knock you out, she's closer to a sparring partner who's training you. You know, so I know sometimes I get a voice that says, did you really want this? Are you sure this is what you're asking for? She also is more of a trainer at this point. You're mentioning, as the verse mentions, that embarrassment is, if you embellish that a little bit, and that's your intelligence reviewing what took place. So you have, now we have intelligence on Prabhupada's mercy to review how these modes are working. Because, I mean, Krishna, he explains them as supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge, by which the sages have attained perfection. So understanding these modes is quite confidential.
Knowledge really is the key. To keep ourselves completely filled with the knowledge of transcendence. Jai Shri Balaji, Jai.